the biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atula, and for the day, Byron Matthews, who's in for Figgy Fig, still dealing with... How long does food poisoning typically last?
Generally a day, right? Maybe longer.
Yeah, I was like, I hadn't thought about it that much. And I mean, look, Figgy, feel better. But I was just like, huh, I don't really think about it because I'm pretty fortunate. I don't get sick.
I haven't had it much, but I got it 2 years ago. Yeah. And that's why I don't go to Chipotle anymore.
Okay.
No offense.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say no offense on the backside of that one to make it work. I don't think that one's going to clean up.
But man, it was bad.
All right, don't start giving details. It's a Friday, and we're right about lunch.
It was wild, man.
Don't do that. People are going to get to lunch. There are people that are gearing up to go out to Taqueria Sarandas.
All I said was, it was wild, man.
To see our guys, Clint and Ron, of the drive.
Yeah.
Now I think about it, I kind of wanted to go to Taqueria Sarandas after the show now, too.
You should. You absolutely should.
All right, that's later.
Or
right
the
now,
chile relleno.
Not doing that. I'm about to get some enchiladas.
All right.
That's what's really calling to you.
That'll work.
All right. Your favorite. Your favorite team is starting their quest to win four games in a championship.
You're just determined to do this, aren't
I am.
You?
That's right. World Series begins tonight. Dodgers, Yankees. Are you actually going to watch this?
Of course I am. And don't
see?
Yeah, of course.
Because your favorite team is playing. I gave you the option to be like, nah, I'm not that interested.
Screw them. No, of course I am. It's I don't care how you feel about them. And trust me, I'm with you no matter what anybody says about hating the Dodgers and the Yankees. It's an interesting series.
It is.
It's an interesting series.
Yeah, man. And it also has the opportunity to be an explosive series because both these teams great at hitting the fastball.
Yeah.
Like you put a fastball in the wrong place and it is going yard and it can happen multiple times because both of these lineups are pretty disgusting. Yeah, we could possibly see really big show in that way when it comes to
you got megastars. You know, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Again, setting aside anything you might think, that is a marquee right there. And then you've got, you know, as you mentioned, hell, Giancarlo, you know, has been he's traipsing into some pretty rarefied territory if he keeps it going.
Yeah,
the way he's playing.
Yeah, so yeah. Like that, there's a lot to baseball wise appreciate within this. And then also, you just want Shohei to win, don't you?
I do want Shohei to win. I'm not running from. That's why I.
You also want Joe Kelly to win.
I do not want Joe Kelly.
I don't know. I'm just...
I could give two flips about old Joe Kelly, but no, it's an interesting series.
That's right, Pow Pals. It's also an interesting series when your favorite team is in it. Ain't that right, Lopez?
It absolutely is. The Astros, when they were in it, it was very interesting.
I appreciate that evasion. There's a good job there. But yeah, so that gets going tonight. What also gets going tonight is the Rockets' second game of the season, an opportunity against probably one of your best tests really, really early. This Memphis Grizzlies team that is rejuvenated. It's funny how quickly time makes us lose perspective. Because the Grizzlies are not really talked about as like one of the good teams, even though like a few
they
years
should
ago,
be.
They were like the number two team in the West.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, you had some injuries and then you also had the suspension stuff that John Morant has done. Let me tell you, he's come back. He looks good at basketball again, guys.
He does. Look, man, this is going to be, and the Rockets need a good effort, if not a win outright tonight, because that was not a good start. And, you know, John Morant's back. Memphis is legit. That's a Dylan Brooks kind of revenge game, so to speak, from back in the day.
That is true.
You know, it's going to be a fun look. It's game two, but it's going to be a fun game to watch, and it's an important one for them to get going.
100%. 7 p.m. tonight. Steven Adams is still out. In thinking about the game on Wednesday, I was like, oh yeah, I wonder how much of a steadying force Steven Adams plays as a veteran, right? Like, I know that. And with all due respect to Dylan Brooks, I don't know how much he is a steadying force because, you know, he's got some...
He's kind of the opposite of that.
You know what I mean? He's got a little chaos to him. Like, he's good at basketball, don't get me wrong. He's got a little chaos to him. Fred VanVleet is, in theory, a steadying force. I'm interested in how much of a steadying force Steven Adams is. You're not going to have him in this one. But you're also going against a Memphis team that's not going to have Jaren Jackson Jr., who's a big defensive guy. Now, Santi Aldama played pretty well for them, and I don't know who he thought he was. He put up a whole mess of threes. I do wonder if this ends up being kind of a three-point game where Memphis is knocking him down, and then you have to ask yourself how you
yeah, we got to answer
that. But also, weirdly, Zach Edey, who is, who was like, you know, multiple time player of the year in college basketball, I mean, he's going to be a vital part of what the Grizzlies do. Mm-hmm. He fouled out in 15 minutes in his first game.
And I thought that was interesting, the perspective I saw from a lot of people on that. Not so much like, oh, you know, this is the NBA. Hey, rookie, we're not going to give you all these calls. The perspective I saw, and I don't know if you did, is like,
this is why he can't cut it?
No, this is why he was officiated so liberally in college.
He was.
I mean, he's an aggressive, you know, physical player. And the thing that people are saying is like, refs in the NCAA were just giving him every call. It ain't going to happen now.
No. So I wonder if that's going to be a place where the Rockets can kind of attack. Is a guy who's going to be kind of a little bit lumbering, but, you know, down in the paint. Yeah. And this team likes getting downhill, as we know. We'll see how that ultimately plays out on a Friday night. Some other things that are popping. I did want to circle back to the J.J. Watt of it all, because he was talking about that Monday night football game or Thursday night football game. All the primetime games in my head are just Monday night football, it seems like. That's what it seems like. The Thursday night football game between the Vikings and the Rams, the missed face mask penalty. The idea that, hey, man, if they can't get that right when it's right in front of them, how do we expect them to get any of these things right? The league really hasn't had a correct hip drop tackle call all season.
No, and I think what the issue is, and JJ was saying, you know, verbatim, can't see a face mask 3 feet in front of them, but we want refs to decide what is and isn't a hip drop tackle in real time. I think there's a lot there, and I think he's absolutely right. But I also feel like, It speaks to, and nobody wants a lot of replay reviews, but I believe it was the Rams, or they were one of the teams that proposed just last year that you should be able to review personal fouls on the quarterback and face masks and such, which is, you know, ironic because they got away with it. But certainly hip drop tackles, he's not wrong. I mean, he's not wrong. This is one where they don't get penalized or very rarely are penalized on the field, but then they get fined by the NFL. Well, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, it doesn't change. It doesn't affect the outcome of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The timing of it would be tough because you would have to be able to do these things pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it almost feels like, as opposed to having things be like reviewable or not reviewable, just kind of allowing a additional replay ref to constantly be watching the game and be able to kind of buzz in, almost like in soccer VAR.
But they do. I mean, there's one in every stadium in the NFL.
Yeah, and just be like, hey, letting you know that one actually looks like it goes the other way. Instead of just having like a 2-minute booth review, have always the opportunity for a booth call down for review.
It kind of speaks to one thing, and I didn't even talk about this when we were mentioning the Longhorns and throwing the bottles on the field and changing the call and all that.
Acting a plump
fool. Acting foolish. Even Matthew McConaughey got mad at them, which is saying something.
I did appreciate that that the entirety of the Texas apparatus was like, we're going to make it abundantly clear that we do not endorse this. That we think that the way that was handled and the behavior was unacceptable, so that nobody gets the idea that, hey, this is something that can happen again.
But no, but here's where I was going with it. As much as like that was an awful scene in Austin, the referees looked at the replay in the stadium and changed the call. I mean, you will never convince me otherwise.
No.
It wasn't like, hey, we huddled and talked.
No, they huddled and they were like, you know what?
Look at the screen. look at the screen up there. And that's where I'm going with it. You know, maybe the NFL, even if it's sort of like a pseudo replay review where they see it up on the big screen and they go, all right, we need to huddle.
Yeah,
you
but know? This is the thing, right? They went and did that. And we all looked at it and they were like, oh, that's a bad precedent. Bad things are going to come. If you allow...
But they got it right.
Yeah. But sometimes getting it right is actually less important than feeling like there's belief in the administrative process.
Well, no. Look, they have pride and ego just like everybody else. But had someone gone up to the referee last night, and I don't even remember his name, and said, hey, man, I just looked at the replay upstairs in the stadium. It was a face mask.
And
at least get the call right is what I'm saying. That's where I'm going. Even if it's like a pseudo replay.
And I think I think we're on the same page, just in a different way. I think the being on the field and making that look would be tough. Have that person have an earpiece, which might be a lot, but like have somebody from up to, hey, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let me hit this button. I mean, we do this on air, right? We have the benefit of having a producer that can get in our ear and be like, hey, here's a thing that you would not consider, or here's a thing that, you know what I mean? Like that kind of effect. Why not the NFL, with these guys that admittedly have a tough job, with all these dudes move really fast on all their responsibilities, have an eye in the sky that's able to be like, actually, as opposed to this gamification that we have when it comes to
and
these
pride and ego.
right? It's like, well, if you have the, if you have enough capital, if you have a, if you still have a challenge in your pocket, then we can get the call right. But if not, and if you're in the right circumstance, maybe.
But it shouldn't even have to go there.
Exactly.
Like for all the ugliness in Austin, they got the call right. They ended because they looked at the big screen. You know, you can do that, sort of wink, wink. I mean, hell, you were talking about, we have the luxury ourselves right here. When we're talking about is particle board wood, Byron Googled it, told me in my ear, particle board is wood. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just do it something along those lines.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Yeah. If you'll allow me to bounce back to basketball one more time, the NBA Cup is the new name for the in-season tournament. That's one of the things that the league is trying to do to help
hang a banner,
incentivize, you know, playing and making it more interesting the regular season. As I blame the Golden State Warriors, what was that, 2017, 18, where they won, no, that was 19.
Wait, where are you going with it?
19, where they won 73 games, but ultimately lost the championship.
Oh, yeah.
And now nobody cares about the regular season. So the in-season tournament, the NBA Cup, rather, is what they call it now. That is going on. They've implemented that to make the regular season more interesting. And this season, the NBA Cup, again, has special courts that have been made for every team.
Oh, have you seen them?
Differentiate. I did. I took a quick look at them. The basic design is they have that NBA Cup trophy. I forget what the name of the trophy is, but they are, I guess it is the NBA Cup.
NBA Cup, maybe, right. Yeah.
They have that imprinted on the center of the court and then in the both lanes at the baskets. But then also,
I'm looking at them.
They have the courts in the colors of the team, but then they have kind of like a shadow of sorts of something that ties into the team. And some of these are real ugly around the league. The Rockets,
that's a lot of red on the Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets is really...
That's a lot of red.
It's gonna be harsh on the eyes.
Oh boy, is it.
But I appreciate at least that the shadow isn't bad. It just kind of looks like you're in a warp, like a warp tunnel, whatever, obviously alluding to like kind of liftoff or something.
Yeah.
1 to 10, 1 being awful, 10 being great. What do you give the court design?
Overall, some of these are pretty sweet, but man, all red court. I mean, ruby red for the Rockets. 10 is the worst.
10 is great. 1 is the worst.
4.
Wow.
How about you?
I probably go... I'm thinking too much about the design. I need to think about the color. Probably about a 5 or 6.
Yeah, Hornets is not good either. That's a lot of blue.
Now... the one thing about these courts as well is that they kind of were a little slick as well. And then also they were not made well. Remember the distance on the 3-point line was actually off early on. So hopefully they actually made these better. But yeah, there you go. The Rockets will have their court. And then they also have a really bright white Rockets logo in the middle. Yeah, we'll see what that also looks like. But yeah, NBA Cup. We'll get to that later. Tonight, it's just can you get a win against a good Grizzlies team for the Rockets at 7 p.m. You'll be watching a little bit of World Series baseball, so you see if your Dodgers can get game one in the course of this. And
maybe I should just own it.
You should.
I should just
because I'm not letting up. I'm not letting up to the end of the World Series. We're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's what's popping on this Friday as we head into the weekend towards Texans Colts. That is also what's popping. You're going to have halftime Andre Johnson getting his Hall of Fame ring. Man, it couldn't happen to a better guy. It's going to be, I think the energy in there is going to be incredible.
Yeah,
there's not just a level of respect, there's also a level of love and some more emotions on top of that when it comes to Andre Johnson and this city. So that'll be really, really fun at halftime of that game. All right, coming up next, let's circle back around to some of the news. It was Warriors 2016. Thank you, Sean Pendergast.
Yeah.
We'll circle back around to some of the things that we're hearing from practice, and then also what Bobby Slowick said, not just about his role in this offensive line, but what they can do just generally to get themselves better offensively. We'll talk about that next.